Welcome to the Hands On Gaming podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Daz, and with me, my mate, Brendan Bassich B. How are you, mate?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, I'm ready to rock and roll, man.
You're not sick this time?
Oh, a little bit, but I've got my cape on now, and I'm going to go through the night and kill baddies stuff. Yeah.
What would an episode be without you being sick?
Anyway? I know. it's COVID country here in Victoria, Melbourne, Victoria. So yeah, and to join us is my good friend and my other podcast buddy, Mr. Tagstar. How are you, mate?
I do well, welcome. Mate. Good day, guys. Welcome. Thanks for having me on.
It feels like
no problem.
It just feels like yesterday we spoke. On another podcast,
I was going to say, yesterday we spoke, we probably did. on another podcast, It was a little while ago, wasn't it, our last episode?
It was. We might do something in the near future,
we might get something going at some point.
Yeah.
Just not an early start, though.
Nah. So what have you been doing since the end of Arcade Perfect?
If you split my day or my days up into percentages, I would say 10% work, 20% family life, 70% Donkey Kong.
Yeah, on Twitch.
Playing Donkey Kong a lot, Daz, so nothing's changed there. I've just increased the amount of time I'm playing it to try and get the kill screen that I'm working towards. Getting there. I think I was up to board 100 and something. I got 12 boards left to go. Done that twice now. Very, very, very close. But two Aussies actually got kill screens this weekend already.
Oh, wow.
And they've never had them before, first time. Hoping today, maybe today will be the day. I've been playing that quite a bit.
So you're pretty much a Twitcher now. So you're gonna play Donkey Kong in a bathtub and in a bikini and stuff.
I tend to in a hot plate, mainly play it in a hot tub, licking the microphone seductively. It's all about wetting the mouth. Okay, a good slop on that microphone. I promise not to do it during this episode.
I shouldn't have asked that question.
No,
probably shouldn't have asked that one. No.
Anything for follows?
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, you'd be going through the roof now. Your follows be going insane.
I saw one of your videos on Twitter where you were modifying your Outrun arcade. I think you were playing Turbo Outrun on it. How does that work?
It's actually got a special PCB in it at the moment.
Yeah.
There's only five of them knocking around. A guy in the UK's designed a PCB. He's actually had it, PCB made. It's only got standard chips in it. It's not got any custom Sega chips or anything like that keep failing on these things. So they've built this custom board that also sits a Raspberry Pi in it. And it basically, the shaker, the steering shaker, all the analogs work, the lights and everything on the cab all light up through this PCB. And you could play other Sega races on it as well. I've got that, and I'm currently kind of playtesting it for him, and we're ironing out bugs and.
I was just wondering because I saw you playing Turbo Outrun on your Outrun cab, and I was just like curious what you had set up there.
Yeah, you could play Power Drift as well.
Nice.
Chris White's version of Outrun as well, the cannonball version. It's pretty cool. It's hopefully it'll be out soon. He's doing it as his own project kind of thing, so But he's also doing it for other Sega games as well. He's doing it for Afterburner, Enduro Racer.
Nice.
But yeah, Hang On as well. So I think the Hang On board's going to have Hang On, Super Hang On. Is it Racing Hero?
That's an underrated game.
Yeah, it's a really good game. And Hang On Junior as well. So these get these old Sega games, you know, the 80s ones with the sprite scale that's had a lot of double boards, had a lot of chips and custom chips on them. And he's hoping to kind of go a slightly different way with it and preserve people's cabs through this board. Yeah, so. Yeah, it's awesome. Pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Cool. It's way beyond my skill level. He dials into it remotely and tinkers with it in my cabinet and stuff. You know, it's crazy.
Oh wow, jeez.
So yeah, that's what we do. Like Sunday nights, so like open up the back of the cabin. He's there with a laptop dialing into it, doing things.
And, yeah.
So it's pretty crazy.
That's cool.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, awesome. All good. Yeah.
Rock and roll. All right, so what game are we playing today?
Brandon? That would be Batman. Yeah, it's just called Batman.
Is it?
but most people just call it Batman the movie. It's not actually officially called that.
I guess not.
I don't know anybody that didn't call it Batman the movie, because you had to say that, so you know what you're talking about, right? Mm. But anyway, it's Batman, the game made by Ocean, the 1989 game. So this was obviously based on the Tim Burton movie of the same name, just called Batman, obviously. And it was an action platform driving, just one of those good old combo games that they put out the time, you know, for all movie licenses where they just did a mix of gameplay. Ocean was the publisher for it in Europe and UK and all that. And Data East published it in the US. I've actually got a Data East Commodore 64 version. I actually own one of those, which is... looks a bit weird to me with seeing the Data East logo on it, even though I know it's an Ocean game. So yeah, it was broken down into five main levels. You got the action platform level, which represented, you know, kind of the beginning of the movie with a chemical factory. And that was repeated twice. The last level in the game is also kind of an action platform style. And then you got two different driving sequences. Also, you got to drive the Batmobile and the Batwing for different sequences. And depending on which version you played, would drastically alter the graphics style on those. And you also got a puzzle sequence just right in the middle of the game. We've got to match up a whole lot of kind of chemicals to get the Joker's formula for his poison gas and that kind of thing. So overall, it had a nice mixture of different types of gameplay, which I always like in a game when they change up the gameplay styles. I always find it's interesting. The movie was, I remember when this movie came out, it was super popular. I mean, just people were getting crazy over it. On video and at the theaters, you couldn't go anywhere. Just Batman stuff was everywhere. And, the game was super popular too. Anybody that had a computer had played this game, at least people that I knew. It's like almost nobody hadn't played this game. That's how popular it was. It was also bundled. It was eventually bundled. Well, not eventually. I guess in 89, 90, it was bundled with an Amiga set, the Amiga 500 set. And that actually helped Commodore sell over 185,000 Amigas in the UK alone, just with that Batman bundle. So it definitely helped boost the Amiga coverage in the UK and even Europe drastically. Overall, though, the game received really good reviews from all the publications at the time for almost all the versions. There wasn't really any... I looked through almost as many reviews as I could possibly find for all systems, and I couldn't find any like really, really terrible ones. They were all 80% and higher, generally speaking. So it was a really well-received game. And some of my favorite parts of this game, though, is the music. It was done by Matthew Cannon and Jonathan Dunn. They were both like kind of ocean residents. They used to do a lot of ocean games. Like Matthew Cannon did The Untouchables and Nightbreed on the C64, both really cool soundtracks. Jonathan Dunn did Platoon, Dragon Ninja, and RoboCop, and many others. So also depending on the version, the music changes drastically, but they all are the same tunes, generally speaking. And yeah, this is just a cool game. I just remember really enjoying this back in the day. I had the Commodore 64 version, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. I played it all the time. I also got to play the Amiga one back in the day. I only got to play it in a actual retail store. They had it set up there, so I used to play it when I used to go there. They used to have it there often, so I actually got to play that game quite a lot. But all the other versions I'd never actually played before. So, yeah, that's Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Batman. Well, imagine if Nicolas Cage played Batman.
Oh my goodness, that'd be great.
his long hair hanging out the back. The cap.
Oh, goodness me.
Just,
one can only imagine.
Oh, jeez. That would be hilarious. The overacting would be ridiculous.
I think that cat, that internet cat that's got the bat gear on it would have done a better job.
Oh, man. Memories wise, okay, well, you spoke about your memory. My memories of Batman the movie was just the C64 from Dodgy Dave. Geez, I played the hell out of it. I mean, I got that good at it. I mean, I was using cheats, I remember, but then I thought, you know, I'll test myself. I used to play this so much. I actually finished it without cheating, so I was quite happy about that. But I remember This is actually a side tangent, right? There was a program that you could hack games with, right? You could change sprites and so on. I think it was on one of the cartridges I had. Like you can change if you freeze the game,
you can change sprites
and stuff. And I remember doing. Remember you've played Delta, that shmup?
Yeah.
I ripped out the spaceship out of that and I put the Batwing in it.
Nice.
Yeah, I wish I still had it. Look, it's still might be on my floppy somewhere.
That was an Action Replay cartridge because my friend had one and it could do that.
Okay, probably was because I remember doing it with a cartridge. And I think I only got like three frames. Like, because the Delta ship used to spin and it had a really nice look to it. But the Batwing's only got like three frames, so it sort of looked weird. But I know that was a side tangent. It's just funny. I just remembered about that now. But that's how much I loved Batman the movie on the C64. Yeah. I never played on any other systems. So going into this review was going to be quite interesting for me. And interesting it was. Mm-hmm. So look, I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia there playing this. And I was surprised with a few of them. And I was like completely shocked with one. So okay. Tag.
I was 16 when this came out, and I still remember now at my desk at school looking at CMVG for this review in the magazines and seeing the Amiga version there with the driving scenes and things like that in it, and I was like, oh my god, I can remember still remember it now because I was so desperate to get it. And I knew I was getting the Amiga backpack for Christmas because I think I'd been out with my parents to kind of, you know, point at it and make sure my parents got the right one kind of thing. So So that's what I had Christmas 1989 was the Amiga backpack, which
nice.
Talking about, and that was my introduction to the Amiga. And it came with a small little Batman box game, to get it all in the packaging and whatever. But I remember it came with a sticker of the Bat logo in gold, like on the front cover. And I think it was a two disc. Maybe a two-disc game. I just loved it as a kid. I had a lot of nostalgia for it. And you know, I don't have my Amiga anymore now, but if I'm loading up any Amiga stuff, I always load up Batman as well. So it's still one of those go-to games, just for a quick blast. So
quick, all right, because you die a clock quickly. Yeah,
it's not easy. It took a little bit of getting back into, I must admit.
Yeah.
But yeah, soon found my way through stage one. When I got to stage two, Batman to me kind of ends at stage two. I kind of play stage one, stage two, and I'm like, yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, now, yeah.
Yeah.
If we can get to stage two.
Yeah, if you get to stage two.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, a lot of fond memories of the game, a lot of good times. I remember having it down there in the living room, you know, connected to the big telly downstairs, you know, which would have been about 15, 16 inches back then. Probably. You know, that was the main TV downstairs. So I used to have to play it in between my parents wanting to watch something on TV, I think, at the time. But it's great game.
So you had the AV modulator, did you?
It would, yeah. The big thing that sticks out the back of the Amiga. That's right. Eventually, I had I did get a Commodore monitor eventually, which was like a massive upgrade, really. Years later, but I think I only had the Amiga for about 2 or 3 years in the end.
So, and you sold it for a Mega Drive, yeah?
So I sold it for a Japanese Mega Drive. Yeah,
you're a silly bugger.
Yeah, I don't know. It was.
I guess back then it would be all right.
Golden Axe threw me when I saw it on the Mega Drive compared to the Amiga. That was it. It was game over, Amiga. but I did miss some of those games that were, you know, Amiga based games. But yeah, good memories of Batman. And for you guys, what's your favourite Batman movie? I mean, Batman 89 is my.
Same.
It's still my favourite movie, to be honest.
Yeah, likewise.
I would probably say Batman Returns for me, but 89 is right up there.
Yeah, yeah.
All the other ones are garbage.
Oh, yeah, they are, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Cool. All right, well, let's get started.
Yep.
Let's get started. What do we start with? The 8-bits, obviously, but which one? Well, Amstrad. Mm. Look at Amstrad. Let's just change it up. How's that? All right. I'll go first if you don't mind.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. As usual, I didn't go in very optimistic, but was I wrong? I think it was really done well. The cool intro music. The controls were tight. It runs at a great pace. It's not really fast. Nice graphics. They're a bit blocky, but lots of nice colours. I just really like this version. Look, I tried with all these versions. I couldn't pass the first level with. I did try. It was just so hard. You know, I had to watch a few videos to see how the other stages looked. You know, but it was difficult. So many to review. It's just hard to dedicate, as you guys know, dedicate so much time to each game. But look, the music was fine, and sound effects. The music and sound effects was, you know, in the game at once, which is great. You know what? If I had this back in the day, I'd be very happy with it. I was very, very impressed. And I think there's a Amstrad GX 400 version of it too, for memory. I could be wrong though.
Yeah, there was.
I thought so. Yeah. So I didn't review that one. I reviewed this just the CPC version, but No.
Yeah, me too.
Thumbs up. I thought it was great. What about you guys?
Okay. I'll go next. Okay. This is probably my least favorite of the 8-bit versions.
Oh, you're kidding.
It's okay. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying it's terrible. It's the music. The music's fine. It doesn't even sound anything like as cool as the Amiga or C64, but it just doesn't have it. Yeah, I know you can't compare, but it's, you know, it just doesn't sound as good, so it kind of takes it away a bit. The scrolling and all that, I don't know, this game felt like it was for me anyway, it felt like it was a bit slow. It's slower than the other versions. Batman felt like he was like moving like underwater a bit. So, you know, the graphics though, were quite nice. They chunky. They chunky and colorful. It's typical Amstrad stuff, but they were nice. I mean, there was nothing wrong with it. I liked the anime. I mean, I liked the look of the car stages and the Batwing stages, even though the perspective is a little bit too side on. So it made it hard to judge the distance when you were trying to like go around cars and stuff like that. It didn't have the same angle as the C64 one, which I thought was kind of odd. But anyway, I also like, I don't know, this whole version for me, it feels a little bit rushed because even like the puzzle sequence, there's no graphics in the puzzle sequence in the background. It's just a black screen with just the kind of things you have to choose, you know? And it's like they just couldn't be bothered to put the computer in the background, like all the other versions. I found that really odd. And the scrolling also on the driving sequences was a bit choppy. Overall, this is just my least favorite of the 8-bit versions. I'm not saying it's a bad version, though. It's, you know, if you have an Amstrad, this is pretty decent. It just wasn't as fun for me as the other ones, basically.
Fair enough.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I thought this version was, it was quite hard. They come at you pretty quickly, I think, from memory, this with the Amstrad one. And, I found it a bit trickier. I don't know if it's a little bit slower on the turning. And I mean, most versions, I think when you shoot, there's like a pause, isn't there, before you can kind of turn around and stuff. So I found the Amstrad one a little bit tricky at first. They were all over me a bit more. But I thought the one thing that this version did, I didn't notice it on the Amiga version when I had it, is that you can, if you fire your rope diagonally, you can actually hit the enemies with
Yeah, you can do that on all the versions.
I didn't even know.
Amiga, but maybe I did that on the Amstrad version. I'm sure I've never done that on my Amiga. Maybe it's just coincidence and that. But I thought, man, that's something, that's a trick that I've missed then, being able to bat rope yeah. and not people.
Yeah, down. You can use it as a weapon, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was
It's kind of like Bionic Commando. You know, you can you can use it to swing, but you can also use it to hit stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really cool. I thought that was pretty cool. And I've never caught an enemy with it before in the game. So maybe like you say, it was on the wall. It's just that I happened to do it on this version. Found the layout and everything is kind of, for me, I was used to the Amiga version, so it's laid out very similar to that. Graphics were great. Thought the graphics and the colors are really nice in this version. It is the blockiest version out there. And Batman does look like he's perhaps gone through COVID and he's put a bit of weight on. He's kind of like, he's just slobbed it. He looks like he's probably slobbed it up for a bit and he's got a bit chunky. But
it's funny because it looks like he's leaning back when he's walking.
Always on these versions, maybe apart from the C64, they always look like they're very vertical.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, and how they walk. A bit different. But and level two, the car level, for example, which is similar to the Batwing version level, I thought that was okay. It was the first time I'd ever played the horizontal scrolling version of it. So obviously for me, it's not as enjoyable as the Outrun style, Batmobile sequence. But I thought it was quite good. I don't know if you guys had missed the turn-ins before. But if you miss the turnings, you get stopped by the police and you actually have to go backwards.
Yeah.
You have to go the opposite way and then like hook and like, it's like I had to almost do a 3-point turn to then turn back round and get back through the, that's causing traffic chaos. But, but yeah, it was okay. I didn't mind the Amstrad version. Looking at it online, a lot of people are saying it's like one of the best Amstrad games, that's out there. So I think if I'd had Amstrad, I'd have been quite happy with Batman on it. Pretty decent version.
There you go. Yeah, I was just surprised. I don't normally, you know, hold my breath for that system. I know it sounds bad, but yeah. But I don't know, I was happy with it. Okay, so
yeah,
it's our Amstrad view on that. All right, who wants to go next and pick this system?
All right, I'll go.
Yeah, okay.
Like. So I'll go with the C64 version.
Okay.
If you like. So for me, the C64 version was very different to all of the other versions that were out there. It was as if it was programmed differently. I think when you look at all of the other versions, they've all got the same style of process. For level one, for example, the enemies go up and down the ladders. And you can shoot as they go up and down the ladders, you can shoot them. In this version, none of the enemies actually travel up and down the ladders at all. They just kind of run at you, which is different to all of the other versions. So it seemed to me that the C64 version was programmed separately to all of the other ports. It didn't follow the same code of any of the others. Batman, I would say, looked more like Batman in Batman 89 in the C64 version than any of the other Batman versions that were out there. He's actually black.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in all of the other versions, he's kind of grey and blue, which is like 1970s Batman, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, which I always find strange as a kid as well. I always thought, well, Batman, why is Batman grey and blue when he was black in the film?
Yeah, they took the look from the 70s comic version instead of the movie, which is a bit odd.
Which is a bit odd, isn't it? Yeah. Whereas the C64 version, they kind of went with the darker, you know, Batman and whatnot. I thought the music was excellent in this version. I mean, for me, it's got those tunes that I remember, but, you know, with a Sid chip, it really does. It did really, really did a good job with the music, and I quite happily listened to this version and the Amiga version all day long. I thought they were really, really good. And I mean, that I haven't really got too much more to say about the C64 version. It plays, apart from that, it plays pretty similar to me. I thought it was an okay version. I'm not sure I liked it as much as the others, though, in how it played.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so because I was used to kind of that one way of playing it, I suppose, with the enemies coming up and down ladders. It was laid out a little bit differently. The enemies come at you differently. So I liked the other versions of it. It was okay. Not a bad version, but it was kind of my least. I think it was one of my least favorites. Look how different it was.
Interesting.
But I'm used to a certain thing, aren't I? You know what I mean? I've been used to that way of playing it for so long.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Next, I don't know. Yeah. What's going on?
That's a hard take.
It's just a different Batman game. It's slightly different. So I was a bit like, okay, why have they mixed it up?
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brendan?
Interested in your thoughts, I'll go next, guys.
Yeah. So this was the version I probably played the most overall. And so this is the one that I remember, and, you know, the other versions, for me anyway, feel like the weird ones because this is the patterns and the style that I was used to. Mm. I actually kind of like that the enemies don't come up and down the ladders, because I find that extremely annoying in some of the other versions, because they just come after you all the time, and you can't even like catch a break, like just get away from me, you know, like get your COVID away from me. Just, and they just come
you
after
are,
you,
you
and you
Batman.
Just want to,
you
like,
are the bat carrier, yeah. The virus yeah. bat carrier,
the bat carrier. It's just like holding on to you all the time. Anyway, the C64 one, I like the fact that they just stayed on their own level. They're waiting for you to come up and throw a batarang in their head, you know, that's awesome. It's so in that sense, I found like, you know, the game a little bit easier, which is a bit of a relief, because this game is actually pretty hard, most of the versions. The first level, this applies to all the versions. I should have mentioned this in the other one, but I think the first level of this game is a little bit too long.
Yeah, it does drag.
Generally speaking, for all the versions, it just goes on for just that little bit too long, and you kind of like... You're like, when's this going to end? I want to see the next level kind of thing. Mm. But that applies to all of them, to be honest. The music is absolutely fantastic in this one. Matthew Cannon, especially the second level. I love that car driving music. It's just, oh, it's awesome. Can listen to that all the time. It's, I mean, the tunes are the same as the Amiga one, except for that intro tune on the Amiga one. But I just like the Sid sound better. So... The C64 music is just tops. The perspective on the driving is different from all the other games. So just like Tags has said, you know, this one seems like it was programmed separately because the driving sequences are more of a like a, you know, isometric look almost. So which actually made it much better in terms of... for the 8-bits anyway, because you could actually see where you were driving and actually dodge the cars better. And you could also, especially the Batwing sequence, you could look at your shadow and you could get that perspective right to hit the balloons much, much better. I found the other 8-bit versions, it was kind of hard to tell exactly how high and low you were. So, you know, you missed a whole bunch of stuff all the time. But... yeah, overall, this is a good one. The graphics are also pretty good. I like them. I like the look of it. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I think only the 8-bit versions had the part where you actually drive into the Batcave at the end of the driving sequence. The Amiga and the ST version, you know, that first car driving sequence, well, the only car driving sequence, like it just ends, like both of those. You don't even like
text it. Up,
it
right?
It just stops it? And a text jumps up, and then you're like, okay, I didn't know that was going to happen. But in the 8-bit versions, you actually see the Batmobile go out of the city and turn into the Batcave, which I thought was super cool. I don't know why they didn't do that on the 16 bits, but anyway, yeah, I love this version. It's awesome, and I stand by it.
I agree.
Thank you.
I know where the crowd came from, but I agree. Look, I probably didn't enjoy it like as much as I did when I was a kid, because it's been a long time. But
and it's tough.
But the music just gives me so much nostalgia. It's ridiculous. Jeez, I got a frog in my throat.
Yeah.
And let's see. I thought great intro music. I just love the music. The music just pumps me up. Tight controls. The graphics are great. I mean, the Batman looks great in that high res. I love when Ocean did that. The high res sprites. They just made the games look so good in the C64.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I thought enemies can be a bit cheaper. I think they're a lot fairer compared to other versions. I think that's due to the fact that they can't go up and down the ladders, which I found was strange when I was reviewing the others. Like, what's going on? This is strange.
Yeah, I found that strange too.
Oh,
I
found
man shouldn't
so
be
strange.
The only one who's got special powers to be able to go up and down.
Yeah, I guess.
Come on, guys.
Special powers. And yeah, again, like with the Batmobile and all, I prefer that perspective. I think that is just a lot easier to navigate. And when you're in the Batwing as well. But yeah, there's nothing else I can much say about this game. I just look. I loved it. I still love it. I think I loved it back in the day, and I think it aged. I think it aged quite well, considering. You know, I think this is one of the games that you would recommend to someone that's never played a C64 before and say, look, try a few others, and once you get the knack of the platform, try Batman the Movie. It's a bit difficult at the start. I think once you get to know the position of the soul, the enemies, I think it's not as hard. Especially not as hard as the others. So, I love this version. It's obviously it's got to do more with nostalgia, I think, and what I grew up with. But I love it.
Yeah. I think all versions are a bit tricky when you first get into it. The platform levels, yeah.
The platform levels.
One thing we haven't mentioned is the cool health bar, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I didn't even mention that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So with a health bar, you start off with Batman's face, don't you? And every time you get hit or knocked, or you get acid dripped on you, or you fall from a great height,
or grenades get poofed at your face.
Yeah, you start to your face changes from the top going down, doesn't it? And it kind of reveals the Joker's face as you die there. So that's a really cool little feature that was cool.
It was especially when, like, I remember I used to look at the Amiga screenshots and CVG, and I'm like, oh, look at the graphics. It's actual digital picture. Like, that's a picture. It's like, it's funny. The little stings used to freak me out when I was a kid.
The picture of the Joker and stuff at the end. It's very good. They did a great job of it.
So, thumbs up for me for that. Okay, so we've got the ZX Spectrum. Who wants to go start with that one? Because I'm going to rip this one, a new one.
Okay, I can do this one.
Okay.
Okay. So, I like the, what I did like about it was the inclusion of sound effects and music both at the same time in this version, which I thought was pretty good. The C64 version didn't have sound effects. You had to select it as a separate thing. Which I never really like when they did that, but the Spectrum one had both. The music's obviously not as good. I mean, that goes without saying, but it was decent. Decent for a specky game anyway. One of the things I really did not like about this game is it's pretty much the same as the MSX version. It's got this slightly zoomed in look, like the screen is zoomed in to the action much more than the other versions. So basically what that means is you can't see far enough ahead of you to see enemies that well. You had to wait for them to like be almost on top of you before you got to react. And I found it's strange. It's weird. And it's really annoying.
it's crazy because the Spicky can get like a higher resolution than the C64. Why couldn't they just do it the same? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Yeah. I found that's the most annoying part of this game, and it kind of ruins the whole platforming sections. The first level is insanely annoying just because of that. The driving section it's got the same sort of perspective as the Amstrad one. It's more almost like side-on, and it runs really smooth and super fast. I was really impressed with that. And it looked quite good, but again, it almost goes too fast, and you have to have like reactions of like, I don't know, like a 10-year-old, not my like 45-year-old reaction. I'm completely screwed on that version. So the driving sequence is really hard. I found anyway. I don't know what else to really say about this version. I just that whole zoomed in look of the platform sequences just ruined it. Overall, I think it's an okay Spectrum game. The driving sequences are really cool, but the platform sequences are just annoying as hell.
Did you get joystick to work?
For that one, no. I use a keyboard.
Me too.
I couldn't get the joystick to work for that.
I tried, and you know what? This is probably partly why I despise this version. Are you done, by the way? I'm just cutting in there.
Done.
You're done.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm done.
Cool. Okay, all right. Let's just talk about the good stuff. Cool music, sound effects. I thought the graphics were nice. The moves at a great pace. But yeah, like you said, that Zoom, that play area, it was just, it's a no-no. Mm-hmm. It's just there's not enough view ahead. You can't see what the hell's going
exactly,
on around
right?
you. So it's really hard to know what you're doing.
So, you didn't even know which way you were supposed to be going, but you couldn't see the platforms.
That's
even
right,
far
yeah. It's like, oh, you know, lucky I played the C64 one to know that there was
similar,
that there was a platform at the top. So,
yeah.
Well, I couldn't get the joystick working, so I had to resort to the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does it make the game harder for me, it makes it less fun. It just makes me appreciate having the C64. That's what it did. I really, look, that's just my preference. You know, like Kingy, for example, he grew up with the Speccy with the keyboard. I didn't, right. You know what I mean? A lot of us didn't. So it just doesn't feel like a game somewhat when you're using a keyboard especially for something like this.
It makes it harder, definitely.
It does.
It's much harder to play. I mean, I used to play tons of DOS games, so using a keyboard is not a big deal for me. So mm-hmm. playing the Spectrum game with this keyboard is fun, but it definitely makes it harder for whatever reason.
Yeah, especially like if I want to throw the hook diagonally, it's like I kept falling. Okay, it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
The key placements were ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I could change them or not. I was getting really frustrated with it. It ruined the experience for me. I just didn't like it. You know, look, I'm all for using a keyboard and mouse for using a first person shooter, but for something like this, look, you know, maybe back in the day, I guess a lot of Speccy users, that's what they had and that's what they got used to. That's fine. Yeah. You know, I understand that. For me though, it ruined the game a lot. It just screwed the game up for me. I just think it makes things just more frustrating. Going up and down ladders, oh my God, how annoying. I mean, it had to be pixel perfect.
No, I hate that in games when they do that. The pixel perfect going up things or jumping.
Like, yeah. Oh. No, it's just, I was expecting really good things with this. And I've read a lot of people's comments online. It's split down the line, 50-50. People hated it and people loved it. I'm in the hate part. But, look, maybe if I could have used joysticks, things could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
But, this is a thumbs down, man. There's only one more worse version than this for me on the here. But I totally disliked it. I thought it was garbage. Sorry, Speccy owners, nothing personal, but yeah, I really, really disliked it. Besides the graphics and the music,
mm-hmm.
garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, you tag? What did you think of the Speccy version?
Yeah, I don't know if I got to play the Speccy one or not. I think may have played it for a very brief amount of time.
Uh-huh.
But like, I was quite, going back from the 16-bit to the 8-bit versions, I think I was looking at everything as quite impressive for what it was able to do, right? Because with a 16-bit version, you'd expect it to, have a bit more to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of had all the features. So all the features were there in the way that it played. Or, you know, the gameplay style was the same for the first stages there. So I was quite impressed that the enemies came up and down, they ducked and shot you if you crouched, and all of those different elements of the game were there like they were in the version that I played. I didn't see any color clash as well. The colors were nice.
Ah, it's two colors, you know? Man.
Yeah. Too... but I mean, that's something that they kept it standard and, you could play it quite clearly. It was nice and easy, clear to see. So, the colors didn't really stop the playability in any way. And the music was really, really good. I was blown away by the Speccy version for the music. I don't know. I had to pop out, so I don't know what you guys said. It sounded like you trashed it. But
yeah, but, I hated it.
Yeah,
but, yeah, it
but
got
I was
trashed.
Really impressed. Really impressed with the music. I don't know if you guys thought the music was any good.
No, the music was pretty was good for a Spectrum game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it reminded me that Jonathan Dunn, I think you mentioned it, Brass. Mm-hmm. Brendan, that you know, he did the RoboCop music as well, which was awesome on the, you know, on the Game Boy, I think he did. So yeah, you can probably expect good things from him and the other guy who did it. But yeah, I was quite impressed with that side of it. The fact that you could play the music during the game as well, I thought was great. So look, I didn't think it was the worst version out there, and I think Specky owners would have been quite happy with it.
Mm.
So yeah, so that was my take on it. I kind of look at everything on here as I'm kind of going back a little bit, because I'm used to a 16-bit version. So I could just like slag them all off and say none of them are as good as the version that I ever played. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and all that. So I've kind of looked at it a different way and kind of to look at it as a, you know what?
On its own merits. Had
this machine. Yeah.
Well, you have to.
I think they'd be quite happy with it. And like you say, I did notice that there was a lot of split opinions of the Specky version and a few of the versions online, especially people playing it for the first time. Never experienced a Batman before, you know, there was a real mixed opinion on if this game was any good or not. Yeah, I did see one comment on YouTube that was it's bat crap, which made me chuckle. So look, it's not the word that I think I know which one the worst version is, and it's very similar to the Spectrum.
Yeah,
but
We'll go to that next,
yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll this is nice and quick. MSX version. I didn't know this existed until Brendan told me. And just like a Specky port, but no sound.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping it was like the Japanese MSX2 version or something, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Nah. Nope. At least it got joystick support. At least the joystick worked. But,
that's true.
Yeah, it's... Why would you release a game with no sound? I don't get it. I don't understand. That's it. That's my review.
I've got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that bugged me on the C64 one, which I didn't mention, was did any of you go down and fall to your death because you couldn't see what was below you?
Oh, yeah. That's all versions, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because some of the versions, if you push down, it actually the screen scrolled down.
Oh, did it?
So you could see what was below you.
Oh,
so on the C64 version, you couldn't do that. The only way you could tell if there was a platform above you was if there was a slight shadow at the top of the screen, which showed you the platform. Below you, you could jump down, and you didn't know for sure if there was a platform there or not.
Yeah, that's true.
And on the other versions, if you push down, it actually scrolled down the screen so you could see what was below you and above you. Which was a feature that, you know, was in the version that I played. And when I come to play the 8-bit versions, I found that a little bit harder to see. And the C64 one didn't have that feature at all in it. So there was a few times I got frustrated and popped my back clogs because I thought there might have been a platform and there wasn't.
Yeah, we were saying that with the Specky version. Like, you couldn't see, you didn't even know if there was anything on top.
Yeah, sometimes the screen gets cut off and makes it hard to see what's above you, doesn't it?
MSX reviews, guys.
Okay, I'll be quick with this one as well. It's got a nice title screen.
Yeah. That's it, right? I haven't got anything to add.
It's terrible. It's got the same zoomed in look as the Amiga, which makes it frustrating to play. The sound is like not the Specky. And the sound is like, oh, it's abysmal. It's non-existent. The driving sequences were okay. They were pretty much the same as the Amstrad. They were nice and fast, but this is just weak. It's just like a carbon copy of the Spectrum one, but took out all the best parts of that and just threw it onto a cassette and sold it for like £10, I guess. So yeah, I wouldn't even bother with this one.
Did it have any music in game?
I got nothing.
I think I was playing it through the emulator, so I'm pretty sure it never had any music when I was playing.
No, it was just sound effects, I think.
What, it was like fart noise, that was it.
And they were terrible.
Yeah.
It was like the Spectrum version without music, so.
All right. We're in 16-bit territory now. You know what? I'll go DOS. I'm going straight to DOS. I'm getting the crap out of the way. Nice graphics. It looks like the other 16-bit versions. I had no sound. I don't know about you guys. I couldn't get sound.
I think you've got to have that... You've got to have a MIDI update upgrade or something like that for it to have sound on it.
Look, it played okay. It wasn't bad, but look, I mean, yeah, I guess maybe I just couldn't get sound. I tried getting sound. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to actually set it up on my real hardware. I had to run it through DOSBox. I just couldn't get sound. Even the controls, I couldn't find up on the keyboard. Yeah. I couldn't find up.
Yeah.
It's the key above the down.
No, it didn't let you use the arrows. So yeah.
I thought it was Q. It was the two on the far
Q
left.
And A.
I used keyboard as well.
No, I couldn't get it. I could get down. I think it was S was down. Spacebar was to shoot. And OMP was left and right, but I couldn't find up.
OMP was left and right. Yeah.
But I couldn't find up anyway. So I couldn't get off the bottom the start. I couldn't even get up the ladder.
That's weird.
So yeah, don't waste your time playing the chickens. Yeah, unless you got on real hardware, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought I was okay with it when I played it.
Oh, did you could go up?
I'm pretty sure I went through the level for a bit. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Stage one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got my joystick to work for it eventually.
No, yeah, I couldn't
get the joystick to map or anything to it, no. But this version had got several different screen modes, hadn't it?
CGA, and all that.
Yeah, I played it in the best version, I think.
Yeah, it was VGA.
VGA?
Which kind of looked like the Amiga SD style port. It's pretty much the same, isn't it? The graphics, really. There's only a few things that I picked up. There's a few variations in just the background graphics on stage one. It might look just the same to the untrained eye, but I think when you compare videos or screenshots, there's a little bit of a variation in the background, but it looks practically identical.
Yeah, the platform menu, stage. Yeah,
the bit at the bottom... where you've got your bat face and your bat signals for your lives, and that is a little bit less colourful on the MS-DOS one. It's not got as many colours in it. But generally, they'll look very similar games. And I found the car scene, again, to look at it, it looked very similar. It wasn't quite the same. There were some slight differences. Did you notice that the flame on the back of the Batmobile on the... MS-DOS version is the only version where it kind of goes on and off depending on your speed.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, when you slow down, there's no flame, and then when you put your foot down, the flame comes out of the back, where on the Amiga and ST version, the flame's just always, it's always on.
So it's always subtle, on, yeah.
Some subtle differences here and there, but generally it was pretty much the same as the Amiga version.
Yeah, I found like on the car level, like the sky was like more black than
the road is more. Black as well. The road is black. There's no shadows on the road at all. And the only difference is there's some there's some cartoon cutscenes in, isn't there, in this version compared to the version.
Yeah,
the Amiga version was missing those. And the ending is different as well. I don't know if you guys got to see the ending, but when you hit the Joker from the helicopter with your bat rope, I'm sure that's not the name of it, the bat rope. It's probably something.
It is now.
Yeah.
Bat rope. You got it from Bunnings, the bat rope. Yeah. And, the hardware store. You fire your bat rope up or your grapple hook up and knock the Joker off. And he actually falls all the way down the chapel, all the way to the concrete floor, black. And he's dead. On the PC version, you hit him, and that's it. The game ends.
He doesn't show you falling.
No, at all.
That's weird.
So yeah, which is strange. Whereas the other versions, it did. But that's pretty much it from me. Some slight variations. It's not quite as good as the other 16-bit ones, but I was quite surprised to see it looking very similar to it.
Yeah, I mean, this version isn't, like, too bad. It's not great, but... So, I couldn't get music to work in this. I don't even know if there is music. I looked online at some videos just to see if somebody had music in their DOS version in a video, and nobody did. So, I can only conclude that there's no music in this game. It's just got sound effects. If anybody knows... Just let us know, but so it obviously takes away a lot of atmosphere, especially for this game. The sound effects were typical, you know, DOS stuff of the time. It's kind of crappy, but whatever, it is what it is. The look of the platform stages is very much like the Amiga and ST versions. It looks pretty good. It's animated well. The scroll's pretty good. I was lucky enough when I first tried this. My joystick wouldn't work, and like Daz said, I couldn't find the up to go up a ladder. I was totally screwed as well. Anyway, I just used an older version of DOSBox on my other computer, and it just automatically worked with my joystick for whatever reason. I don't even know why, but I'm just going to accept that. And so I got to play that a bit. The driving sequences, the graphics are definitely not as good as the Amiga or the ST, but they're still, it's decent. I found the angle was a little bit lower. It was almost like an OutRun angle, but in like a bad way, like the C64 version of OutRun, where it's so much behind you that it's hard to dodge the cars that were coming at you, because the cars, when they were coming like right at the screen, there was hardly any space for you to move, you know, that kind of thing. So I found the driving to be kind of frustrating. It's nowhere near like the Amiga or ST, where you could actually, you know, slide around the cars and made it feel like really good. This was more that horrible C64 OutRun version where you're just hitting into things all the time. Doesn't matter what you do. Even if you think you're good, you get that big thump and just like you come to a dead stop. So this is definitely like, it was pretty frustrating. There's not a lot else to say about this version. It's okay. It's definitely not up there with the other 16-bit ones, though. It's kind of a downgrade for sure.
Cool. We'll go Atari ST next. We'll leave Amiga to last. How's that? Oh, I'll go with this one. Has a great loading screen. Nice intro. The game looks great. Music is lacking, though. Jeez. That AY chip ain't. Mate, that was not good at all. Tight controls. I find the game ran a little fast. Maybe it was the emulator. I don't know. I did watch a YouTube video, and it did seem like it was a little bit slower because the speed did make it pretty difficult. But what I disliked about this is that the enemies keep respawning. I didn't find it with the other versions. I found this one, they respawned, and they just don't give you a chance. They were relentless.
This is that version with the relentless dudes.
It's insane. The difficulty was ridiculous. I did try, this is probably the version I played the longest, and I could not pass the first level. I really wanted to pass it. I couldn't do it. It was just too hard. Look, I think it was okay, but the enemies were just too cheap. It did ruin the game. I think if you had it back in the day, you get used to it. You deal with it. So it wasn't that bad, but yeah, look, cheap AI and music was lacking. Was the downfall of this version, I thought. Yeah. But yeah, I did try to pass the first level and I just couldn't do it. It was just too difficult. So yeah, that's my review.
Oh, I can make mine quick because I didn't actually play this version. I ended up with a YouTube video in it because I could never get the Atari running. But this version to me looked very much like the Amiga. There are some differences in the driving stages. For some reason, this one's got like a purple kind of sunset in the background. So there's a few color changes here and there, and a few differences. But the biggest difference, which Daz already mentioned, is the music. I actually thought the Spectrum version was better.
Yeah, it was. It was
vastly superior.
Yeah,
which is cool. Yeah, it was a massive difference to the Amiga version. It was like a chiptune version. That's how I kind of put it. Nowhere near as good as the Amiga or any of the other ones that did have music. I thought it was a real, really bad, the music for it. And that's it. That's all I've got to say on it.
Yeah. This one, it wasn't... out of the 16-bit ones, I really didn't like this. Like everybody said, the music is absolutely awful. It sounded like a retarded NES game. It's just horrible. It just had no, like... it just has no, like, bass or just... It's no Sid tune, that's for sure. But the graphics in the platform stages are pretty decent, but those unrelenting enemies is just so annoying. It made it like I just didn't even want to play it. Driving sequences, I noticed that there wasn't any sound effects, which was really weird. The other ones had, you know, the 16-bit ones anyway had like car driving sounds. I think this one had nothing. It was just, it had that horrible music, but you know, the other games had that awesome driving music. This one had was terrible. So it just made it annoying. It just made it even more annoying to play. And it doesn't run as smooth as the Amiga one, that's for sure. I also felt the Batwing parts, flying the Batwing in the ST version was much harder than the Amiga one. I don't know what it was. I think it might have been just the frame rate was just like more choppy. I don't know whether it was the emulation or that's how it is. So it made it harder to like kind of keep the Batwing like in the middle, trying to like, you know, steer it properly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are the things that kind of annoyed me about the game. But yeah, definitely my least favorite of the 16-bit ones for sure.
Interesting. So yeah, that's it with the Atari, eh? Now for Tagster's baby, eh?
Yeah. So I've got my rose tinted glasses.
Okay, you go first.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I played this quite recently. I didn't put it on over the last week, but I have played it recently. I played it pretty much to death, and yeah, it is a great version of the game. What can I say about it? Really, it's just the music's great on it. The playability of it is solid. For me, stage one and stage two are what I really enjoy in this game. Stage three is a bit of a filler. Really, I can remember getting to that before as a kid and going, I don't know what I've got to do. I think you had to kind of read the manual to get a grasp of what to do. And when you die, you know, it's pretty bad. You don't start off back to where you were, do you? You go back quite a bit. And if you've lost your three lives, that's it, right? It's game over. You're back to stage one. So So I think I saw stage one and two the most as a kid, and that's what I've got more fond memories of. The Batwing section was okay. I don't think it was as good as the driving sections. It wasn't far off, but I enjoyed the driving sections more. So look, if they made this game with just using stage one and two and made it much longer or broke it up like that, I'd have been quite happy. But yeah, it's a great version of the game. Anything else to add? I mean, there was sound effects, right? There was music, and voices as well, which was pretty cool back then. It kind of the Joker, when you died, the Joker like laughed at you, didn't he? I think, which was pretty cool back then. You didn't see that kind of stuff very often.
You can tell Ocean put a lot of love into this version.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it was a really good. So can I say anything more about it? Really, I mean, just it's my baby. I go back to it. If I put the Amiga on, I always go back and have a little play on it.
You know what? I reckon there was a cahoots with Amiga when this was getting made, because I think probably they were thinking about doing this pack to begin with. So I think they put a little extra effort into it.
I think
it's probably true.
Man, if they'd have made Outrun with that driving engine, it would have been amazing on the Amiga.
Wow, that would have been cool.
Yeah,
such a shame that US Gold stuffed it up. but yeah, it's a cracking version. Yeah, I'm interested to see what you guys think. Without that nostalgia there, was it a good, you know, is it still a good game? Is it still a good, solid game to you guys?
You know what? Yes. Yeah, because look, I'd never played it either before now. I thought great intro music and voice samples, tight controls. It runs at a great pace. Enemies are fair. Graphics are gorgeous. It's just very polished. It's a very well-rounded, polished port of the game. Mm-hmm. I prefer the C64 version because it's what I grew up with, but I think this would be the best version all round. It's just balanced. It's just balanced. It's got everything going for it. It's just really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you've pretty much covered it, Tag, so. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I messed around with it back in the day, so I did have, you know, some sort of feel for it. But that title screen, I really love that. I like the fact that it wasn't just the same as the other games. They had a little bit of spice to it, you know, it just looked cool. And also that that intro tune on the title screen, that kind of synthesized kind of... I don't know what dance routine thing with the sampled speech.
Yeah, that's right.
The first few seconds I thought, oh, this is rubbish. But after about 45 seconds, I was like bopping my head. You know, I was like, this is actually pretty damn cool. Yeah. I liked it. The rest of the music is cool. I just still like the Sid sound more, but they were good tunes. They're the same tunes, just, you know, sounding like the Amiga, obviously.
Hmm.
The driving sequences were awesome, especially the car driving sequence. That was just played so well. It looked so good. It moved fast. It was great. The Batwing sequences are definitely better than the ST. It's a little bit tricky to fly that thing.
Mm.
At least I found it hard, to line it up. But it's much easier than that than the ST. I think the frame rate just isn't as clunky as the ST version. And I also like the Amiga one. Obviously, like you mentioned, it has a lot of digitized sound, like sound effects and stuff like that. But they're actually really good. As opposed to sometimes with Amiga games, they tend to go overboard. Like, they tend to think that, you know, because they got the power to digitize, then they just go mental on it.
It'll just cover everything.
The dude moves like left and he goes, and he moves right.
Double Dragon's a good example of that.
It's just like calm down with the digital stuff, right? Just chill out. But this one has a really nice balance. I love that sound effect when the Joker falls into the vat of acid there. That was cool. But yeah, this is really, I mean, the C64, like Daz said, is my version, you know, it's the one I grew up on. I still love it the most, but if you really had to look at it, this Amiga version is like, I think it's the king of them all. It just, Ocean definitely, like you said, I think they really put extra time into this one. I think they definitely had the notion that it was going to be included and it was going to help promote, you know, Commodore, and they were going to, you know, team up there together. So they gave it some extra juice. Definitely. It definitely shows. It's overall, I think it's the best version.
Yeah. There's a really cool bit at the end of stage one when you, because the music's playing through the game, when you shoot Jack into the vat, as soon as you hit him with a bullet, the music cuts out and he falls, and then you get the splash of him landing in the vat of acid. And that's always cool. Something that always got me when I played the game. It was always kind of atmospheric, that point when you, as soon as you hit him, the music cuts and you just hear the sound effects of him falling.
That was a really cool little feature. I also found the first stage of this game, although it's also a little bit too long, just like all the versions, I was able to cut through it pretty quickly. I think it's probably due to the fact that I'd already played all the other versions first. So I got used to the map, almost, like, you know, where to go. But this one, I found it wasn't as annoying as some of the other ones.
Yeah. I always remember it used to be annoying when you sent your grappling hook diagonally, and you had the pipes with the acid drips. And you guys get bounced around by the drips, you know, because you kept getting hit and you couldn't get out of the way of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good version. They really did some great stuff with licensing, didn't they? Ocean.
Yeah, they did.
It was
they
one did. Of those things where they started really knocking some great licensed games out of the park.
Untouchables was another, I think. Yeah.
I thought that was good.
Yeah, Hudson Hawk was great too. I really liked Hudson Hawk.
That was good.
Yeah, I never played Darkman. Did you guys play Darkman?
I think I did play Darkman. Darkman's the one with the cards, isn't it?
I don't know.
Or maybe not. No, I'm thinking of somebody
it's
else.
It's like a side scroller, and then it goes into like a almost like a first person where you got to take photos of people. It's not as good as this, but it was okay.
You know what? Maybe we should look at doing an episode on the best movie games.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, these days when you get movie tie-in games, there was a period where it was always shovelware, wasn't it?
Oh.
You know, get the license, shove it out, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Nightbreed is one of those.
Yeah, but they did some good stuff, didn't they, Ocean, back then with the licensed games. Batman.
And we're done.
Yeah,
that's it. That's all of them. Okay, so I'd say overall the best version for me would have look. I mean, all right, I've got to take my glass, you know, roasting glasses off. I have to say the Amiga version's the best one out of the lot, personally. So, worst. Oh, you know, I'm going to say MSX. I'm going to say ZX Spectrum because MSX Fun shouldn't even be there because it's just the specky port anyway. I hated it.
Yeah.
So.
Same for me. The Amiga and then the MSX was definitely the worst one. Really surprised by the Amstrad version. I really thought that was crappy how they'd done that. And I was quite surprised with the C64, just how different it was to the other versions. There's some interesting differences there.
Yeah. For me also, the Amiga one is really the best, even though I love the C64 one. The MSX is complete garbage. I mean, there's just nothing else to say about it. I wasn't a big fan of the Amstrad one. I mean, it's not terrible, but just didn't really do it for me. But MSX is awful.
Yeah. So what? So you preferred the specky version over the Amstrad?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Amstrad, I don't know what it was about it. I think I played it right in the middle of playing all these. Maybe I was just frustrated at that point.
I don't know. Who knows?
You know, yeah. that first level gets on your nerves after a while.
It does. All right.
Yeah, it's quite a long. I mean, it isn't that long of a game, I suppose. But when you're doing review, when you're going through all of those games to review them for the podcast, it's a lot. It's quite a lot to go through, isn't it? To get to work,
it is.
Yeah,
it gets a bit monotonous, I think. Yeah.
Good.
Cool. So yeah, that's it. That's all that done and dusted.
Yeah.
So we'll finish the show off. Is there anyone you'd like to say, you know, shout out to, tag, before we get off?
Yeah. Look, I'll give a shout out to. Who should I give a shout out to? I did have a few thoughts then, and then it slipped my mind. But I'll give a shout out to some of the other podcasts that I listen to. The Tenpence Arcade podcast. I haven't been doing a lot of driving, but I've started to listen to a few again here and there. RGDS and the Retro Silent Guys tend to be the go-to podcasts that, you know, I'll go to, as well as obviously this one that you guys do. Shout out to those guys. The Play It Up podcast as well, which is an Aussie podcast around the arcade scene, which is a really good one to go and check it out if you haven't. And then I suppose I'll give a plug if Twitch / Tagster is my Twitch account. You'll mainly see Donkey Kong there until the kill screen is achieved, and then I might start doing a few main games here and there.
You do Bomb Jack?
On other stuff. Not right now. When I get used to the controls of Bomb Jack, finally get my head around it, I might do some Bomb
Jack. That's a hard game.
Yeah.
You guys are soft.
Tapping the button to slow down your fall.
I could never get used to that game.
No, I'm the same. Struggle with it.
I love it.
Stuff.
Oh, it's good, but it's just it's hard to play.
just a thanks to you guys for having us on and to be able to relive some of my childhood memories with Batman. I was going to say Batman the movie, Brendan, but I should. Batman. Everybody always says Batman the movie. If you've never played it, go and check it out from our opinions on which ones it'll be worth playing.
I'll
say thank you to Gary Arnott, good old Gaz, helping us out with our little logos. And everyone that listens to us, thank you for support. It's been great. You know, our hits have gone up, so thank you so much. Thank you for the support. And with that, we shall let you guys go. So, adios, everyone, and stay safe.
Yes.
Take care, everyone.